Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The readings are from 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 10, and Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. We continue our sermon series, You Are Not Your Own. We explore what it means to make holy the name of God.
This is from 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And this is Hannah's prayer. So Hannah was a lady who was barren for many years, couldn't have children, and then miraculously, she had Samuel. And so Hannah takes Samuel to be dedicated at the temple, and this is her prayer. I'm going to read it from the message, because when I was preparing, I just felt it spoke really clearly about what she wanted to say. So this is Hannah's prayer. Hannah prayed, I'm bursting with God news. I am walking on air. I'm laughing at my rivals. I'm dancing in my salvation. Nothing and no one is holy like God. No rock mountain like our God. Don't dare talk pretentiously. Not a word of boasting ever. For God knows what's going on. He takes the measure of everything that happened. The weapons of the strong are smashed into pieces, while the weak are infused with fresh strength. The well-fed are out begging in the streets for crusts, while the hungry are getting second helpings. The barren woman has a house full of children, while the mother of the many is bereft. God brings death and God brings life. Bring down to the grave and raise up. God brings poverty and God brings wealth. He lowers and he lifts up. He puts poor people on their feet again. He rekindles burnt out lives with fresh hope, restoring dignity and the respect to their lives, a place in the sun. For the very structures of earth are God's. He has laid out his operations on firm foundations. He protectively cares for his faithful friends, step by step, but leaves the wicked to stumble in the dark. No one makes it in this life by sheer muscle. God's enemies will be blasted out of the sky, crashed in a heap and burnt. God will set things right all over the earth. He gives strength to his king. He'll set his anointed on top of the world.
Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, and it's entitled, A Prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may this morning, may your name be a little bit holier. In my life, in the life of this church, and in the life of your people. Amen. I think as a minister, as a vicar, as someone who is called to preach, the titles or the subject of holiness is one of the most dreadful subjects ever to try to grapple with. Holiness. God's holiness. So I do hope, that's why in my prayer, if I make God's name a little holier, I think I would achieve something this morning. I don't think I will, with my limited words, with my limited use of English, maybe in French might be even better, no, I don't know. But I don't know how I will really grasp what God's holiness means. I don't think it's even something we can grasp. Maybe that's the purpose of holiness. It's that otherness of God. The fact that we will never, and we should never, although that's the natural things we do, put God in a box. God is God, is God, is God. And we'll always be above and beyond what we can grasp or understand. And yet God makes himself known. He wants to be known. So we are continuing this series on You Are Not Your Own. And some people came to me and said, oh, this is a great title. Yes, I'm not on my own. I said, no, the series is You're Not Your Own. But it's great. You're not on your own too. You know, God is with you. But the series is, as we pray to God our Father and we pray that prayer of Jesus, we are caught into that story that we are not our own. We belong to God and he grows us into that belonging. And so if we remember 2 weeks ago, we looked at how Jesus helped his friends to know how to pray, or actually how not to pray. There were two don'ts and one do. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't use prayer to impress others. And don't use many words like the pagans would to address their gods, thinking that by using big titles and big words, they could influence God, their gods, and that God would then be more willing to listen. He said, don't be like that. God knows already what you need. Just come as you are. Be yourself in the presence of God. Find that place where you can be on your own with God and talk to him. And then Jesus gave then the prayer. And we started last week with our Father in heaven. And Dave kind of unpacked that fatherhood of God, the fact that he's the source, the origin, and the creator of everything, and we have that in our passage this morning. For this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Father as the origin, the creator, the maker of all that is, all creation, us included, but also all that we don't see, the invisible, the realm of God and angels. God our Father. But God is also a Father that cares, that loves. And sometimes it's difficult to use that caring attitude with Father. So there are some motherly pictures in the Old Testament. God being like a mother in its caring and loving attitude towards us. One that provides, that directs, that protects. But it is also God who is in heaven. And that doesn't mean that God is far away, that somehow we need to make hard things to try to reach out to him. And I remember when I grew up, there was a particular worship song, and it felt like it's hard work. You had kind of to cross different stages, and then you're in the presence of God. That's not what it means for when we say, God, who art in heaven. Because God is here. He's very close. But he's also that holy God, that other. And God doesn't exist because we exist. If we wouldn't be here, and if creation wouldn't be here, God would be. And he wouldn't be different. God is not a projection of our awareness. He's not a produce of what we wish for. He's not a construct of our human mind. God is God, is God, even without creation. But he reveals himself in creation, first through a people, and that's the people of Israel, the whole story of the Old Testament, and we have that now in writing, and then through Jesus Christ, who is God with us. And that story has now come to us through the New Testament. And God, Holy Spirit, help us now as we read those scriptures, as we talk about them, as we explore the Holy Spirit, make those scriptures alive and help us to understand who God is. And to understand who God is, we need to look at Jesus. So God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's what we're going to explore this morning. Once we've passed God the Father, we are presented with six requests in that Lord's Prayer. And I will use the word thy for the first three requests. It's hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And that's in contrast with the other three requests, which is give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debt, as we also forgive our debtor, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so a lot of theologians see those three first requests, the thou petitions, because they're part of that big story of God in which we are called to be part of. It is about God making his name holy. It is about God bringing about his kingdom, and it is about God revealing his will. God is making his name holy. God is bringing his kingdom, and God is fulfilling his will. That's the story of mankind, our story. And then the prayer gets focused on our needs, the believer's needs, the we petition. Our daily needs, physical needs, daily bread, our needs to be forgiven, not just individually, but in community, and our needs to be freed from the evil one. And so there is this balance between God's sovereignty and what God is doing and our responsibility. God makes his name holy, but I am expected to live a holy life. God brings about his kingdom, but I am to work towards that goal. God is fulfilling his will, but I am to discover that will and obey it in my daily life. He gives the gifts of daily bread, but I must work for it. He forgives, but I also must forgive others. He guides me away from evil, but I must make those choices daily in my life to renounce evil. So God is the one who makes his name holy. And God is the one who calls his holy people to live differently. Some of the expression in the New Testament is as children of light. Or what Paul says in Romans, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. We are called to live differently. So let's explore how God is making his name holy. In Hebrew, there is a certain way, grammatical structure, to use passive words, and it's called the divine passive. And what it means is that when a word is a passive, behind the passive action of that word is always God. And this is a kind of a translation of Hebrew. Hallowed be your name is make your name holy, and that's God's. It's always God who takes the initiative to make his own name holy. Because that's the reality of who God is. He is holy, other, different. And Hannah expressed something of that holiness in her prayer. Verse 2, there is no one holy like you. There is no one beside you. You are the rock for those who trust in you. And there are three areas she explores. First, that God turns things around. The proud, he makes them humble. The powerful, he makes them humble. But those who are broken, those who stumble, he brings them up and raises and gives them strength. Those who don't have enough food, he feeds them. Those who are barren, he gives them children. He's also the sovereign God. The one who rules, brings death and makes alive, brings down and raises up, sends poverty and wealth. This is quite difficult for us to hear. Because I think we're so accustomed in our Western world that this is just a world that has been created by a clockmaker who has put all those laws there and it's just the clock is ticking. That's not the Christian view of God. God is present in all that is happening. He is the one who makes his name holy. Thank you for your translation. The translation you use, Sarah, is some very helpful way of using this expression. God will set things right all over the world. That's what it means for God to make his name holy and glorious. He will set things right. He has started through Jesus. He's using us to do that in our world and in our time. But that's what he is doing. He is setting the world right. Now, the reality is that although God is holy, his name can be defiled here on earth through our actions or inactions. And so the book of Ezekiel is all about this amazing vision of God's holiness, but also the failures of Israel's who had made the decision to not live according to the covenant through their lifestyle and through their worship of idols. And God, who then had to take them out of Israel's and into exiles, and how that made his name unholy, because now all of a sudden the other gods from the Gentiles of the world around thought, this is not a powerful God. He's abandoned his people. Look, we are more powerful than him. So his name was made unholy through the exile. And this is what he says through Ezekiel to these people. I had concern for my holy name. Basically, God says, my name is holy, which the house of Israel caused to be profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore, says to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will make holy my great name. So when we pray, hallowed be your name, make your name holy, we're asking God to act. God is the one who makes his name holy. And it's a scary prayer, I think, in a sense. Because if we're in a place like the Israelites were, that means God is going to act to make his name holy. The good news is when God acts, it's always to save. And so at the reality, the holiness of God is always good news. It's always about life. It's always about being restored, being rescued, being changed, transformed. For them, the act was to bring them back to their country, to Israel's, the end of the exile. But the real end of the exile was the coming of Jesus. Through the coming of Jesus, God was acting, finally, to bring about rescue to all of us. And that we see in the story of Isaiah, when he has that vision of holiness of God. You might remember the first and I think the only time in the whole scripture where we hear, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. You don't hear love, 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 or mercy, 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 or just. Three times his name, above all names, is holy. And he has this vision of God sitting on a throne and of kind of special angels serving and speaking and saying, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's what God is doing. He's trying to fill the whole world with his presence and glory. And what happens when we sense something of God's holiness is that sense of who we are. All of a sudden, Isaiah says, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to die. I've seen God in his holiness. No one can stand that. You see, there is a vast difference between what we know or we knew or what he knew and perceive of himself, of Isaiah and his people, and what he now knows and understands in light of God's holiness. He says, woe to me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people that have unclean lips. And that is an expression to say that whatever I say about God, or whatever I said about his plans, and my people say about God and his plans, and the way we live is unclean. In light of God's holiness, I see my disobedience or the way I should live and I can't live. I'm lost, I'm guilty, I'm ashamed. But the beauty of that passage is that he doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't go and try to work out his merits or his righteousness. No, God does something for him. In that passage, he says, he takes a burning coal from the altar of sacrifice to purify his lips. And then he asks, whom shall I send? What a wonderful picture of what God did for you, for me, for us in Jesus. You see, in Jesus is the mercy on one hand that is so attractive about God, his love, and on the other hand, his holiness and his justice. That really is, for me, quite scary. But the love and the justice of God has been met in Jesus, who took our place on the cross, so that, like Isaiah, I can be forgiven. And so in Ezekiel, we have this picture of God making his name holy, God whose love, God who attracts us and draws us because he is love, and the holiness who causes us to withdraw, to be scared. It shows us our needs to be rescued and saved. This is what R.C. Sproul said about the holiness of God. When we understand the character of God, when we grasp something of his holiness, then we begin to understand the radical character of our sin and hopelessness. Helplessness cannot survive only by grace. Our strength is futile in itself. We are spiritually impotent without the assistance of a merciful God. And so in Ephesians, we have this wonderful prayer of Paul that reveals what it means to be saved. He prays that out of his glorious riches, we may be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we will know the love of God. We will understand what happened on the cross. We will know that through him, we are now God's holy people. Not because we have earned it or merit. He gives us that new identity. We are holy. He says to the Corinthians, who were maybe the furthest from holiness, if you read the whole of the two letters, how many problems there was in that church. And you know how Paul starts the letter? To the saints who are in Corinth. That's how he calls them, to the saints. And that's why Peter says, God's holy people, that's your identity. Sanctified, holy, set aside, forgiven, cleansed. And so what God wants us is to live out that identity. It's not something you produce, it's something that God has given you. And through the Holy Spirit, through empowering you, when you grasp how wide and long and high and deep his love is for you, that transforms you, it changes you, it makes you willing to live your life differently, to express God around you, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's a mouthful of expression, and in Greek it's really, if I had enough word to say how to be full and energized, Peter used them all in that sentence. He wants to let us know we can be filled, we can live that life, because that's who we are as forgiven people. We are now his holy people. We can come to the presence of God and say, Abba, Father, with no fear. Thank you for that very helpful question in the morning. What makes you holy? I don't feel particularly holy this morning. What makes me holy is God. His declaration that in Jesus Christ there is no more condemnation. My sins have been wiped out, forgiven. That makes me saint and holy. It doesn't excuse to continue in a way that I used to live. It should encourage me, energize me to live that new life that God has given me. So Paul then says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's our call. That's what we do when we say, God, make your name holy. Act among us, so that what you've already made us is more and more expressed in this world. That we may declare the story of your changes, the story of your grace, the story of your love, the story of your patience. That we may show to people, I was like this before I knew Jesus. Now I'm like this. I'm still need to be changed. I'm still on that journey, but I'm not what I used to be. That's what I used to be. Now I'm here by God's grace. He moved me from a place of darkness to a place of wonderful light. And maybe you think, well, I've never really experienced that. I don't know what you're talking about. During communion, we'll have a prayer ministry, and if you want just to open yourself to that, go to those who are praying and say, I want that for my life. I want to know what it means to be forgiven, transformed, changed. Someone says the following: the happiest people in the world are those who hang on to what God says and follow it, regardless of what their feeling is. You see, God does not want you first to be happy. It's not about feeling happy and doing things that makes you feel happy. God wants you to grow in holiness. He wants you to make you holy. And when you live that life, contentment and happiness will also grow. So shall we pray that God will indeed make his name holy among us as we seek to follow him. Jesus, on that cross, you who were holy, without sin, died for me, a sinner. Like Isaiah, woe to me on my own. But because of you, Jesus, I do not have to fear anything. There is no more condemnation for those who have given their life to you. Thank you for that. Thank you for the holiness that you have given us, that you call us saints. Lord, as your church, help us to grow as your holy people, doing your will in our lives, in our families, at work, wherever you send us. Help us to show to people what you've done in our lives. In your name, amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.